Blog Talk Radio.
Wonder, before we even get started tonight, anyone in the house have a testimony they want to share tonight for church? C-H-E-R.
I got a testimony.
Yes.
I got a testimony. Pastor, I'm glad to be here, giving honor to God who's ahead of my life. I thank Him for what He's done for me. And I don't know what you come to do.
This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back. It is Saturday, April 7th, 2018. I pray all is well with you and your family. I pray that God is blessing you and keeping you, and that you're able to hear us. I thank you for joining us. For all those who have called in at 646-668-2636, and also listen to us online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and on Twitter. We can also reach out to us is at Twitter is Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. And also you can always reach us on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about the gospel. Pure, unadulterated gospel. We know spring is coming. We're going to the country. It's still maybe a little bit cold where you are, but we know spring is coming. We have celebrated the resurrection. Time for us to get out, for the church to get outside the four walls of the building and reach the lost, reach the community, and we're encouraged it today. So today we just want to share the gospel. No matter how long you've been in the church, in the body of Christ, how long you've been saved, committed your life to Christ, we are called. We are called to evangelize, we are called to reach the lost, we are called to minister to the world and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know we do a lot of things, we do a lot of service, and we do a lot of reaching out and meeting people's needs. But if we meet people's needs here on this earth and yet still their souls end up in hell, have we done what Christ has called us to do as the body of Christ and as a church? So I just want to encourage you today to consider. Again, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we never come from a place of trying to put people down. We come from a place of encouragement. These are things that we have to work out in our own Christian work as men. Because also we understand that it's important that men reach men for the gospel. It's important that men reach men for the gospel. Amen. So we're going to read scripture and prayer, and we're going to get right into the conversation. I'm going to share some insights with you today and some things to give you and to encourage you as a Christian, as a saint of God, as His ambassador in the world, that you want to be salt and light in the midst of it all. And we have to understand that how do we share the gospel, especially man to man. And we take those opportunities for those in our circle of influence to share the gospel, encourage them in the gospel. And then, do we know what we believe and why we believe it? Because even though we know sometimes folk come at Christians with questions about this and about that and personalities and what they hear in the news and the culture about churches and pastors and things that are being done. But understand, why did Christ die? And what we as individuals, remember, we as individuals are going to stand before God. We're not going to stand as a church, as a denomination. And God is not concerned of what church you went to when you stand before him, because your life will be judged on his standard, and that is the word of God. Amen. Amen. So real quick, we're gonna have a musical interlude, and then we'll be right back, and we're going to start the program. Amen.
Xfinity Mobile is a new kind of network designed to save you money while streaming your favorite music, like that 90s.
Amen, amen. This is Deacon Farr. We're back. We're back live this morning on Saturday, April the 7th. And thank you for that. We had a short musical interlude there with Mahalia Jackson, Old School Gospel, just to encourage you this morning. Get to what our topic is tonight, because we're going to talk about the gospel. We're going to talk about the importance of men reaching men for the gospel, and what is the gospel, and how should we share it. Amen? Amen. Well, tonight, let me open with scripture and prayer, and then we're going to go right into the discussion tonight. I'll be reading from Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter number 14, and I'm going to start at verse number 15. And the word of God says, "And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servants at the supper time to say to them that were abidden, Come, for all the things are now ready. And they all went with one consent, began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excuse. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and go to prove them. I pray thee have me excuse. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and shown his lord these things. And the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as I have commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go into all the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were forbidden shall taste of my supper. Father God, we say thank you today, Lord God. Father, make us the faithful servants, who go and compel those from the highways and the byways and the lanes and the hedges to come into your kingdom, to come into the house of God, to come to be your servants, O God, that they might accept you as Lord and Savior, O God. But, Father, move us that's in the body of Christ right now, those of us in the church, those of us who confess Christianity, God, move on our hearts to get outside the four walls, move on to our hearts to reach the lost, God. Father, we have talking about those who have not heard the gospel, who don't understand the gospel, and we have not shared the gospel with those in our circle of influence and those around us, oh God. So today I pray, God, that you would stir up the Holy Spirit within your people. Move them, oh God. Give them compassion that they would go and compel others, God, to come to know you, come to know you as Lord and Savior. Continue to bless me and continue to bless those who listen to this program, God, as this program goes out in the airways, that they might be an encouragement for the saint to go and reach someone for Christ today, oh God. Speak a word, oh God. Let their faith, God, be manifest in service and in speaking of the gospel. Continue, God, to watch over the churches, the leaders, the deacons, elders, and pastors. Strengthen them and keep them. And this is my prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen, amen. Well, today, we're going to talk a little bit about the gospel. Every person, every saint out there, every saint, You should understand the gospel, be able to explain the gospel, and be able to share the gospel. I know, you know, recently I've been part of an evangelism team, and some of the things we prepare ourselves for when we go out and do street evangelism. And let me say this about street evangelism. Sometimes street evangelism is not standing on a corner with a PA system and a bullhorn shouting down people as they're going about their day. And I've seen that done before. You know, however the Spirit leads, but that shouting down as people are passing by is not engaging folk with the gospel. It's not showing the love of Christ and condemning them. You know, we understand fire and brimstone. There is hell. Hell is real. But when we're talking about compelling people to come to Christ, what are we telling them to do? Are we telling them to repent from their lives, come to God because God loves them, who God is, who Christ is? You know, we can't compel somebody to come to do something that they don't know nothing about. Think about it in a temporal realm. You go for a job. You want to know what the job is, what the requirements of the job are, what sacrifice has been made, what shift you're going to work, and you know how much you're going to make. Sometimes we have to take that same kind of mentality when we go to the gospel. We can tell people what they're coming from and they're repenting to and coming to a loving God. And also within that, we can also share that the wrath of God is to come. That the wrath of God is coming back upon the mankind and this earth. Now, they may or may not believe it, but yet we have to be able to stand firm, flat-footed and square-shouldered and share that gospel. And especially when we're talking about men reaching men. You know, men don't necessarily move on their emotions. Men don't necessarily move with, you know, the logical thinkers. Our minds work a different way. Because even in myself, I know when I'm confronted with a task or with a challenge or with something, I have questions I need answered. If I can commit to it or be able to do a good job, even on, again, in your professions and in your vocations, you have to prepare and have and know what needs to be done, what's your time frame, have an understanding. Let me just say that. Have an understanding of what needs to be done and what the outcomes are going to produce to make a choice. And even what we're doing with the gospel, you know, we don't take it lightly. It's not what I want to say. Salvation is not free. There's a cost to it. And do we share the cost of what it means to be a Christian and a saint? It's not easy because when the challenges come, when the threats come, when the insecurities come, when the doubts come, when your faith is shaken, when those in your family, those in your community reject you because of your faith, because you choose to be different, speak different, think different, because you'll have a renewed mind in Christ, when the Word of God starts to penetrate your heart and soul, where will you stand then? And even if we look at the example in the New Testament, in Acts, and the New Testament letters that Peter wrote, the church is being persecuted just because of that, from the government, from other religious leaders, from others in the religious community. There was a persecution going on with the body of Christ. But today, somehow, we think it's an easy thing to choose. So are we being honest? And again, we have to know what our salvation stands for and with the testimony of what God has put bring us through and the challenges just for being. Not necessarily the things he necessarily delivered us from our sins and bad choices, but yet the things that we endured and we did not walk away from our faith. Because if there's a faith that is not worth dying for, is it truly any faith at all? And we talked about that in previous programs about what is your faith worth dying for. And the first thing we have to learn to die for, each of us, is dying to self, our pride, our selfishness, and our unforgiveness. But again, that was another show. So today I just want to encourage you. I'm going to give you some pointers, because again, 60 seconds. Can you share the gospel in 60 seconds? I was reading a couple articles and blogs about this recently, again, because I was preparing to do outreach and how do we compel people? We want to compel them into the body of Christ. You know, I learned a long time ago, you know, our pastor taught us that, you know, we do evangelism. We do evangelism to, there's two-pronged approach to evangelism. You know, we compel the local church, we compel people to the local church, but we first compel them to Christ, to understand the salvation of their soul. You know, because once the word of God sinks into a person, once the Holy Spirit starts to take over, they don't want to know more about the word of God. And that's where be part of a growing congregation, local body. It really doesn't matter. As long as it's a Bible-believing, Bible-living church, a Bible-teaching church, you know, that is not necessarily the goal of evangelism. But we will propel them into the kingdom of God, into the Christian life, into the faith of God, to be the children of God. So, you know, there's two prongs. We also, and on the other prong of that is, you know, we let people know that the local church is there. The local church is there in the community. We're part of the community. You know, I've been to a lot of teachings and conferences when we sermons where if your church just disappeared, would anybody notice? If your church building just shut down, closed down, you left for your location, your church just dissolved, would anyone notice that your church was really gone? Are you making an impact in the lives of people? Are you showing and sharing in the community? Or are you just building bonds and filling it up? Again, this is why it's important for the local body, the local church, to be able to get out the communities, reach the communities, shed the light, put our light. The scripture talks so much about what the church should be doing, you know, us as Christians, that our light should shine, that people would see us, that God, because only through us is people going to see our God, hear and know about Christ, know about salvation, know that there is a God, know that there is a better life than this, that this temporal life that we're living is just for a moment. It may be 80 years, 70 years, 100 years, or it might be until tomorrow, but there's something better, that there's eternity. And are we sharing that message with people? Are we sharing the message of love? Are we sharing the message of reconciliation with God? Are we sharing the message that God can transform our hearts and minds, that we will see our enemies different? That we will see our enemies different. You know, the gospel of Christ didn't necessarily die for, you know, the transformation and for the healing. He died for the souls of men. But even in the midst, when we start to live differently, when we start to think differently, when we start to be obedient to his commands and to his teachings, our life would be different, because we would treat others differently. Because the change starts from the inside. The change will start from the inside of us, and then it will manifest itself on the outside. And that's the thing we have to look at when we share the gospel. So today I'm going to give the gospel. For those of you who are listening, who called in at 646-668-2636, I thank you for joining us this morning. And pray. If you want to share, be part of the broadcast, or share your insights or wisdom, or how to make a comment, just press 1 on your keypad, and we can bring you into the conversation. Amen? Amen. So, if you're listening on the line, let's see, set your watch on your phone real quick, and let's do it. I'm going to see if you could time me and let me know, because you know, we all have to. There's something about studying, preparing ourselves. And when we go out in the street evangelism and share the gospel, we have to be on point. We have to be precise. We have to be able to share clearly and precisely. And sometimes we rehearse what we're going to say to people. We want to encourage people. And later on in the program, I'm going to talk about 6 steps for street evangelism. And we talk about street evangelism also. We say this is about reaching people. For those of you in sales who know about cold calling, trying to drum up business, it's the same type of thing. We have to have our elevator speech, it used to be, old evangelism class I took. Can you share gospel in 2 minutes with someone to plant a seed or to encourage them to ask a question? And then thereby that way of starting to build a conversation to talk about God, his word, who Christ is, who God is, and what they must do to be saved and why they need to be saved. It's about conversation. It is about staying on point with the conversation and understanding where people are. Because again, people have a lot of different beliefs and understandings of Christianity, the church, pastors, whatever, religion. But are we preparing ourselves to go and compel them to come? And wherever they are we have enough wisdom and leading of the Holy Spirit to be able to share something, to give them an understanding that their souls might be saved. Amen? All right, so here we go. Real quick, this is what we're going to do. Again, if you're listening online, you can chime in and let me know how long this presentation was, if I was to be able to tell someone about the gospel. Here we go. We know that God has made everything out of nothing, including you and me. His main purpose in creation was to bring him pleasure. The chief way in which we as humanity do this is through loving, obeying, and enjoying him perfectly. Instead of this, we have sinned against God, our loving creator, and acted in rebellion. God has vowed that he will righteously and lovingly judge sinners with eternal death. But God, being merciful and loving, gracious and kind, just, sent his own son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of man, to live as a man, to fulfill his perfect requirements in a place of the sinners, living and obeying and enjoying him perfectly. And further, his son bore the eternal judgment of God upon the cross on Calvary as he satisfied the eternal anger of God, standing in the place of sinners. God treated Jesus as he was a sinner, though he was perfect and sinless. The glorious transition occurred when, as a sinner, puts his faith, dependence, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his substitute. God then charges Christ's perfection onto the sinner and no longer views him as an enemy, but instead adopts him as a son, as a child, covered in perfect righteousness of his son. God furnished proof that the sacrifice was accepted by raising Jesus from the dead. God will judge the world in righteousness, and all those who are not covered in the righteousness of Christ, depending on him for forgiveness, will be forced to stand on their own and hear the eternal and endure the eternal anger of God. Therefore, we all must turn from sin and receive Christ. We all must repent. Amen. So let me know, how was that? Was that 1 minute? I have that script here, and I've been rehearsing it and practicing it. But you can always, you know, edit it down. But those are the points we have to hit about what the gospel truly is. Because again, when we go out and talk to the lost and talk to the unbeliever, they may have misunderstandings of Christianity, the church, and what Christ is, why Christ died, and who God is. Because we know, the culture, the world is diluted with a lot of terms that we call God that is not God. That's the true and living God of the Bible. So I encourage you, each man today, how would you share the gospel with another man if you had 1 minute, 2 minutes to speak to him and share something that would to provoke him, to compel him to ask you more questions, compel him to want to know more, compel him to understand that he's a sinner, that there is a grace of God, that God has created him to be better than he is. He created him for a purpose, because every man was created for purpose. God has a plan and purpose for every human being he's ever created. But the only way they can achieve their true calling and purpose that God created for is first coming into salvation by faith through Jesus Christ, that God can use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to make a change in someone else's life. I always say here at Christian Men's Talk, every man was saved for a reason. There's one life, there's one soul that can be saved because of you. God saved you to reach one other person, just one other person. That's what we have to see. Is that the soul that God created me for, that soul might be saved? That soul, there'll be a ripple effect through mankind. Remember, God started with Abraham. He chose Moses. He chose men to be able to show himself mighty and glorious on the earth and to use them for the purposes that he called for them to use. Abraham, he used his bloodline. He started with Abraham, pulled him out of his circumstances, situation, took out a bloodline. Some of us men, we are Abrahams. In a way, because when we give our life to Christ, how will it ripple to the generations to come? Our children's children's children. Even for those of you who may have been raised in the church, been in the church, your grandfather was in the church, your grandfather was a pastor. I know those are great legacies to have, but how many of us just had a family who were Christians, who were faithful believers in Christ, faithful servants in the church? They may not have been ordained and carried titles, but they were faithful, that they raise their families in a godly way. And that's the thing we also, here at Issue Christian Man's Talk, we talk about. We always talk, we want to encourage the layman, the person, the man in the pew, the man with his family, the man with a brother, a sister, a nephew, cousins, that his light can also be used and shine to reach someone for the gospel. We don't need a church named after us. We don't need our name up on the church wall. We don't need our church name in the church bulletin. But we are called as Christians to compel those, to reach out to those, again, in our family and our bloodlines. And sometimes it may not even be preaching. It may be just how we live. You know, how many of us know married couples who have endured years of marriage and to be an example to other marriages? How many of us have known men who have, prison, locked up, ex-drug addicts, ex-addiction, ex-whatever, but because of God's grace, mercy, loving kindness, and them and their obedience to the word, they were compelled into Christ and now their lives are different. Their lives are better, and they are being used by God to reach others. Because that's the other thing. We have to understand as men of God, we have to be able to stand before God and hear and be judged by him for the life we live. And God is not calling all of us to be pastors, to lead a church, to lead a congregation, to, you know, some of us are just called to lead our families, to be the husbands God calls us to be and the fathers we're called to be, and to be a man of God in the community of good reputation. And that can be a way that we are spreading the gospel and compelling others to come into the faith that we believe. Because what we do and why we do it is Jesus Christ. All that I am is because of Jesus. The reason that we do this radio show is because of Christ, because of what he's done in my life, because the kind of man I was, the kind of man that I know of some of the brothers who listen to the program. They have come from situations where God changed and turned them around and is using them mightily. Coming to the knowledge, you know, I usually don't like sharing other men's testimonies, but I've known and know men personally, not hearsay, not in a sermon setting, but personally know relations of men who, when God came into their life, it was changed. Once they became obedient to the word, learned the word, and started to live out the word, everything didn't go perfect. Let me not say that. It wasn't prosperity. It wasn't they got all the money in the world they needed, but they changed. But God, the word of God changed them on the inside, that they dealt with life on life's terms and saw God for the answers that they needed to continue to press on, that their faith was built. They've seen God move in their lives, seen God move in the lives of people. And I think they are encouraged by that. And then sometimes just the word of God can move us to a place where he's going to give us a vision and a purpose for a season and then move us on to something else to continue to live this life. Because no man can go for 80 years doing the same thing. Because that's not the kind of God we have. We have the kind of God who can have us do and touch lives in a lot of different places. You know, not many brothers, you know, we talk about our jobs and our work history. You know, we have resumes. It's the same thing with God. He's going to use us here for a season, use us there for a season. But if we long to be obedient to his word and to his will, and we're surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to edify the body and glorify him, we'll be able to stand before him and hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. You're listening to It's Just Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and also on Saturdays at 9 a.m. to share a word of encouragement with the body of Christ, to encourage men to be husbands, fathers, and sons that God has called you to be, and lead your families, lead in the home, and lead in the community. Amen. And in the church. Okay, when we talk about street evangelism, I'm going to give you some six steps. Again, we talked about sharing the gospel in 1 minute, having our preparation to be able to, if we stop someone on the street and hand them a tract, and be able to start a conversation with them. But today, I just wanted to give you some six quick points, because, again, we're calling for men, we're calling for the church. Summertime's here, springtime's here, depending on what part of the country you're in. You know, we got some snow, some rain. But, you know, the weather's going to break here. It's April. In 30 days from now, it's going to be nice. It's time for us to get out. We're going to go on vacation. We're going to do a lot of things. But what will our service for God be? Evangelism in the communities, in our neighborhoods. And again, I encourage every Christian, listen, man or woman or child, evangelism starts in your home. The Bible says, love thy neighbor. Who's your neighbor on your left, your right, in the front, in the back? Do you know them? Have you shared the gospel with them? Have you invited them to church? Just start there. Just start on the four points of the compass. That's four souls where you can plant a seed, the word of God, and pray that it be setting good ground and be able to share the gospel, invite them to church, show yourself friendly, show yourself neighborly. Amen. So when we talk about street evangelism, we got six steps here I'm going to share. And as the weeks come, as spring comes, we're going to talk more and more about these to encourage you on what the gospel is. Amen. Number one, choosing a good location. We go out and we choose locations. You know, I've learned doing research and studying and seeking through prayer that location is important. And for some of us, our communities. We can start in the community where we live. I just mentioned that. The neighbor on the left, the neighbor to the right, the neighbor to the in front of us and behind us. If you live in an apartment building, you got neighbors all around you, left, right, up, down, across the hall, downstairs, upstairs. Have you shared the gospel and invited them? If you're in a home, again, your back neighbor, left neighbor, right neighbor, your whole block, your community, whatever. Are we making ourselves visible as Christians in the community? And that, and let me say this. It's more than just you went on wearing a T-shirt or a hat or even handing out tracts to strangers. Are we engaging people? Because handing out tracts, is one of the methods, but are we really taking time to engage folk? And even in the midst of our day, you know, tracts come good when we just have those happenstance meetings. People just run across, starting a conversation in the grocery line, in the Walmart line, the supermarket line, and do we ever share a tract or invite them to our church? Do we have something, you know, in our pocket that we can give them the address? Because, you know, but are we prepared to compel them to know that as Christians, we're right here, we're in their neighborhoods, we're part of the community, but when the opportunity gives ourselves, are we prepared to speak up? Number two, starting conversation. The hardest part is starting conversation. That's what I talked about the gospel in 1 minute. Learn how to start conversations with people to be able to tell them about Christ or tell them you're a Christian or your church. Just say, you know, my church is doing this. You know, what's going on? Because people always say, hello, how you doing? I say, I'm doing good. You know, my church is doing something. They're having a banquet or they're doing a Bible study in my church and I'm being blessed by it, something. Learn how to engage in conversation. I'll share this, because that was one of the things I had to learn for myself. Because we do a lot of hello, how you doing, and or good morning. But then learn to engage in conversation with folks sometimes. You never know what people are going through, a word you can say that might spark a conversation. And then you never know where you can spark a prayer or someone may need prayer, because you never know what people are walking around and what burdens they carry. Number three, ask questions. Again, now when we talk to people about Christ and Christianity, we need to create a sometime we can't, what's the word I want to use, browbeat people, because we don't know where people are spiritually. Because the person, you could talk to a person who's been going to church for their whole life, but they don't understand the same Christ. They don't understand the word the way you do. Or they might be going through some stuff. Or you could reach somebody in a conversation about the things of God and that way connecting with them. Because you never can know, you connect with someone else, another believer, and then that can lead to something else, to reach someone else. Because it might be someone, again, that they may be reaching, and they may have struggling with a question that the person asked them, and then they could bounce it off you. So learn how to ask questions and know what people are. Because that's the other thing. You know, if you run into a Catholic, if you run into a Jehovah's Witness, you know, start a conversation, see where they are, and then begin to share the gospel. But this goes back to what I was saying earlier in the program about knowing what you believe and why you believe it, and the basics of Christianity. So that you cannot be confused with a counterfeit. I know a lot of people, and a lot of folk teach about Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, but, you know, sometimes it could be just a word. Because, again, this is a God thing. This is God against Satan trying to blind the people's eyes. And if you give a clear and precise word, you never know how the word of God can break the shackles that bind them. Because they're in bondage, and they're in bondage to a lie. But you don't have to engage, take it on, and try and win a debate about them, because their soul is in jeopardy. So we have to also be able to minister to them with love and compassion. Number four, learn how in our conversations to jump to the gospel message. Again, jumping, what the point of is, Jesus died for your sins. You're a sinner. God created you. He sent his son to redeem you back. Because we are all sinners, we all fall short because of our Adam's disobedience, and Christ was born to restore us back to that right place as God created being. Explain the gospel. Why did Christ die? What's the importance of Christ dying? Why was Christ different than any other person that was crucified and killed? And why did God accept his sacrifice? And how do we know that God accepted it? Because he rose him from the dead. We just came out of Easter season of the resurrection. Because the resurrection is the foundation and base of Christianity. And that can always be a jumping off point, a point where we can start to discuss it. Even now, I know we're past Easter season, but again, the resurrection shows the power of God and accept the sacrifice. And always end the conversation with asking a person if they want to, if you can pray for them. Pray for whatever they're going through. Pray for their needs. Pray for their understanding. Pray that God will open their hearts, that they will come to accept Christ as their Savior, come to the knowledge of God, and know that God loves them and that Christ died for them. And pray with them. I mean, you know, whatever, again, I always, you know, my pastor tells me all the time now that we have to consider what people are going through. No matter what they look like on the outside, every man is carrying something. He could be celebrating the greatest day of his life, or it could be the worst day of his life. Or they could be going through something or challenge. You know, anything could be challenging. Finances, health, family, marriage, children, job, situations. There's pressures on people all the time, and you never know what they're going through. So always would end the conversation with prayer and the assurance that God loves them and Christ died for them, and just try and leave them with a word of encouragement. And again, like I always say, invite them to come to the faith in Christ. Invite them to your local ministry. Invite to reach out to them. You know, some people, you know, you give them a phone number, get their phone, whatever. But just end the conversation in prayer and about the gospel, that they will make a decision. Because every man, again, we are planting seeds. Some of us are tilling the ground, preparing the ground for the next person to come. And you never know. We might make a friend from one conversation and a connection. Could be a beginning of a friendship. And that's the other thing when we talk about evangelism. We have to start to open ourselves and make ourselves more friendly to those out there, to the stranger, to the lost, and to the unbeliever, and just give them opportunity for relationships to build. You know, and that's why, you know, that the whole street evangelism, screaming through a public address system, is not how Christ did it. It's not, that example is not in Scripture. So, because even when Peter spoke, he stood before the people and he proclaimed the gospel to them, and they listened to it. And then that they would convert, because, again, however he did it, he compelled over 4,000 people to convert that day. So can we do that when we go out into these communities and reach folk? Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and we're here every Monday at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8 p.m., and every Saturday at 9 a.m. So I encourage you to call in and join us. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. Or go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this broadcast and the rebroadcast of our past shows there. You can also go to Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Inbox us. You can share your insights. We invite you to come on. Elders, men's leaders, men's presidents, pastors. You have a men's event. If you share it on Facebook, we'll share it and send it out to the brothers there. You never know when opportunity might need, when a brother may need to jump in and be in fellowship with some brothers. You know, I believe in the philosophy of AA and NA. There's always a meeting, so there should be always a gathering of Christian men for another man to connect with. Amen? Amen. Again, I'm going to share the good news of the gospel in closing, and I invite you to join us back. Our next live broadcast will be on Monday at 8 p.m. The good news is that the one and only God, who is holy, made us in his image to know him. But we have sinned and cut ourselves off from him. In his great love, God became a man in Jesus, lived the perfect life, and died on the cross, thus fulfilling the law himself and taking on himself the punishment of the sins of all those who would ever turn and trust him. He rose again from the dead, showing that God accepted Christ's sacrifice, that God's wrath against us had been exhausted. He now calls us to repent of our sins and trust in Jesus' forgiveness. If we repent of our sins and trust in God, trust in Jesus Christ, we are born again into a new life and eternal life with God. So, God, I close tonight and I say thank you. Thank you, God, for being that, for being God. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, for dying. We thank you, God, for the proof and the resurrection. We thank you for your word, oh God, because your word is our blueprint, is the document. It is the outline and blueprint for our lives. It is the commandments you call us to follow and believe. God, continue to use me. Continue to use my family. Continue to bless the churches and the pastors out there who labor endlessly and tirelessly to bring people to Christ, to lift people up, to educate, to keep people Christ, to guide them through the sanctification, help them mature in the things of God. Continue to bless us. Continue to watch over us, oh God, because we are your children. I am your son. And God, my greatest prayer is to stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Hallelujah. Come on, worship the King. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the King.